started here. Let's find our seats. We'll be using our hymn book this morning, 348. 348.
Thank you.
First, I want to mention welcome. We have one visitor I know for sure, and then someone who hasn't been here in a long time. Welcome. Good to have you with us today. Hope you enjoy our service this morning. Secondly, don't forget this today will be the last Sunday for quite some time where we have an evening service. Starting next Sunday, we will have Sunday school at our normal 9:30, and then our morning service will be delayed until 11. And the reason for that is so that you can have some time to fellowship one with another, as Jason was just saying in his prayer. So I trust that will be a blessing to each of us. I imagine some will probably bring some snacks along for part of that time, but I trust it will be a blessing to you. So starting next week, we'll be doing that. And then also, starting next week, Brother Renzi will be with us for the foreseeable future. So we'll be seeing him every week or both. One other thing, of course, and that is the Lord's really been blessing us as we give back to him. So I trust that we will continue to do that before and after our services. There are offering boxes in the back. And we don't do like a lot of churches do, where we pass an offering plate. We don't do that. It's between you and the Lord what you choose to do. And there's also a basket there to give a special love offering to our speaker, Brother Jeff Toad. Thank you for being with us today. And then also there's another special box back there. The Conversion Center with Brother Mark Reno. They're trying to raise funds to supply tracks to all their track depots all over the country. So if you're able to contribute to that, that would be good as well. I think that's all the announcements I have. So let's take our Bibles and turn to Psalm 1. We better do that right away. Psalm 1. I must apologize for last Sunday. I completely forgot to do it. Psalm 1, verses 1 through 3. All right, here we go. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Okay. Very good. All right, we'll take our books again. 524. Our hymn books, 524. Sunday School for the adults. 601, how firm a foundation. If you're able to stand, why don't we do so on this song? 601.
Past and gone. take my hand. Precious Lord, lead me home.
This morning I invite you to turn with me, please, in the Word of God to the book of Job, chapter 36. The book of Job, chapter 36. Again, I say it's a privilege to be here. I appreciate so much the invitation that I received from Brother Freeman to share this day with you, but the kindness that greeted me today, as has always been true when I've come. Thank you so much. I say again that we have certainly been much in prayer for Brother Freeman, and our hearts are with you during this time. And we pray that the Lord would be glorified in His church during these days. Of course, this day is somewhat different from many other occasions when I've been with you. For that reason, my intent is not to preach a lengthy message. Of course, many a preacher has been confronted after the service by somebody with a grin on their face that said, "Preacher, I thought you said your intent was not to make a world record today on the message length." And then, of course, the preacher would smile and say, "This is my intent." My intent is not to preach a lengthy message today. The day will be quite full with both the services in the morning and in the evening, and then I'll have the privilege of sitting down with the pulpit committee for a little while after the service today, and then I look forward to going over to the hospital and spending some time with Brother Freeman. And so the day is quite full, and I shared this earlier, and I want to say it again because I want it to be clear that I am honored for the privilege of being able to sit down with the pulpit committee and just share my heart and be whatever help I can be. And I said earlier, and I say again, hoping to be a help and not a hindrance, hoping to be an encouragement, not get in the way. I'm doing so not only at the invitation of several of the men, the pulpit committee, but also I talked with Brother Freeman, and I asked him personally, and he told me very plainly, he said, "That is my desire, that you be there with the pulpit committee and share that time with them." So I want the church to know that I would never dare, not in his presence, not in his absence, do something that I did not think that was pleasing to the preacher. And this is his desire, along with some other things that he shared with me. But certainly we're praying that the Lord gives encouragement, that he gives strength during this time, and that he gives leadership and guidance to his people. Would you stand together with me, please? Our Bibles are open to the book of Job. Standing together, shall we? I'll begin reading in verse number 1, Job chapter 36. Verse number 1, the Bible says, "Elihu also proceeded and said, 'Suffer me a little, and I will show thee that I have yet to speak on God's behalf. I will fetch my knowledge from afar, and will ascribe righteousness to my Maker.'" Look at verse 26. "Behold, God is great, and we know him not, neither can the number of his years be searched out. For he maketh small the drops of water, they pour down rain according to the vapor thereof, which the clouds do drop and distill upon man abundantly. Also can any understand the spreadings of the clouds, or the noise of his tabernacle? Behold, he spreadeth his light upon it, and covereth the bottom of the sea. For by them judgeth he the people, he giveth meat in abundance. With clouds he covereth the light, and commandeth it not to shine by the cloud that cometh betwixt. The noise thereof showeth concerning it, the cattle also concerning the vapor. Verse 1 of the next chapter. At this also my heart trembleth and is moved out of his place. Hear attentively the noise of his voice and the sound that goeth out of his mouth. He directeth it under the whole heaven, and his lightning unto the ends of the earth. After it a voice roareth, he thundereth with the voice of his excellency, and he will not stay them when his voice is heard. God thundereth marvelously with his voice. Great things doeth he, which we cannot comprehend. For he saith to the snow, be thou on the earth, likewise to the small rain, and to the great rain of his strength. Let's pray, shall we? Father, we do thank you for these moments that you've allowed us, and pray that in a very obvious way you would speak to each and every heart. Might we leave from this place once again saying that we've heard from heaven. Lord, we would pray for that person who's not sure of heaven, not sure of eternity, that they would not let another day pass before settling that matter once and for all and forever. Lord, we pray that you would be pleased not only by the preaching of your word, but by our response and tenderness toward your word. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. Oft time has been told the story of Job, who experienced such affliction that when his three friends, Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar, came to him, that they were smitten with silence and could say nothing. At last, there is another voice heard. There's a young man named Elihu. Honestly, I cannot be sure when he actually approaches. I don't know how long he had stood among the others before finally he could remain silent no more. Elihu, he speaks. Now, I would ask you to notice a single voice. Others had spoken. Now Elihu, he speaks. Finding ourselves uncertain as to how long he had stood there, but at last, silent no more, he said in verse 2, suffer me a little, and I will show thee that I have yet to speak on God's behalf. He said, suffer me a little. Just give me a little opportunity. Elihu may have asked for only a little opportunity, but the door being opened, he took quite a measure of liberty and spoke at length. I said just a little while ago, I may say to you, it is my intent to preach briefly this morning. Suffer me a little. And I hope I don't presume too much on the opportunity. Suffer me a little, he said. But he talked a great while. He said, I will fetch my knowledge from above. He said, I do not have to resort to the philosophies of men, to the reasonings of humanity. I will fetch my knowledge from afar. I know that he speaks of the source of truth, the word coming from heaven, God entrusting his promises, precepts, and every principle, God giving his word. I will fetch my knowledge from afar. But as he spoke of a knowledge that came from afar, may I say to you, dear friends, that we are not among those who perhaps find ourselves in some distant land who have to say, I will fetch my knowledge from afar, hoping for the day when one day the Word of God will be theirs, held in their endearing possession, that the Word of God is close at hand, even held within our grasp and its pages turned by our fingers before us as we peruse the Scriptures. Elihu said, I will fetch my knowledge from afar. May I say to you, dear friend, God's Word is close at hand. We have it within our grasp. And while so many others, they await the Scriptures to be translated into the tongues in which they were born, so oftentimes we presume upon the privilege that is ours to be able to rise in the morning and hear the Word of God speaking from the pages of Holy Writ. I think about a single voice. He said, I have yet to speak on God's behalf. Notice how little has been spoken. So much had been said, so little had been spoken. Elihu said, you've said so much, you've said so little. I have yet to speak on God's behalf. I was silent trying to respect your years because I am the youth among the elderly, but at last I cannot restrain myself anymore. By the way, his name means he is my God. My friend, if he is your God, how can you be silent? Elihu, he could hold it in no longer. Think of how little has been spoken. Job spoke of those friends, Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar, the three who showed up at the first, saying, you're all of you physicians of no value. So much had been said, so little had been spoken. I think of how little has been spoken of him. Mark Zuckerberg, not long ago, that name being common knowledge among us in our day because of Facebook and his involvement with the internet, he said not long ago, he said, I've come to a place when I realize that in fact, that there is a necessity that man finds. There is, he said, a drawing of man to one who is much greater than himself. He said, there is, I acknowledge, there must be the existence of a God. This man who has been known for his atheism, this man who has... Now, I'd like to be able to say to you that he has come to know God personally, and yet I'm awaiting the day when I hear that he has heard the rest of the story. There are some who have heard so much said and yet so little still, but they need to hear the rest of the story, and I pray that soon they shall. He said, I have yet to speak on God's behalf. Job said, you're all of you physicians of Nova. Elihu said, I will fetch my knowledge from afar. How little has been spoken. Think of how much is still to be said. Marco Polo, when he had traveled the lands of the Orient, what is now the country of Mongolia, the empires of China, and the land of India, when he arrived at home again, he would tell his stories of his journeys and his friends would laugh. They said, oh, you are given to so much imagination. These things cannot be true. They laughed and they mocked and they scorned until Marco Polo, he began to hold back some of his most adventuresome tales. On his deathbed, his friends came again to his side. And they said to him, why don't you go ahead and confess these things that you told? They are but fanciful imagination. Why don't you just go ahead and confess? These things aren't so. Marco Polo said with a smile, he said, "I have not told you the half of what my eyes have seen." And with that, they heard no more. May I say to you, dear friend, that we have not told the half, I think, of what that one who found herself in the presence of Solomon said long ago. She said, "The half was not told me." We oftentimes sing the words of the song, "The half has not been fancied this side the golden shore. Over there, he'll be still sweeter than he ever, 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 ever was before." We oftentimes find ourselves saying, when so much has been said, that so much is still left to be spoken. And might God touch these lips of ours that we might exalt him with our testimony as we ought. Think of how little has been spoken. Think of how much is still to be said. But then think of who yet remains to be seen. Oftentimes men will speak and they will debate and they will argue. They'll share their theological opinions and positions and take little notice that with all that has been said, God still hasn't showed up. I don't know about you, but as was prayed just a little while ago, it'd be a wonderful thing if the preacher would disappear and men would seek Christ. If as we were speaking, suddenly God would interrupt by his very presence. In fact, Elihu's name is spoken 7 times in the narrative before us. And then suddenly he is interrupted and no more is his voice to be heard, but God himself who thunders from the whirlwind. Wouldn't it be a marvelous thing if God just interrupted, if all of a sudden our voice is abruptly ended by his voice that speaks? A man once went to hear Charles Haddon Spurgeon preach. And the man, he entered the auditorium with a critical heart. He was in no mood to be blessed by the preaching. As he sat there and he listened to Spurgeon, he thought, "My preacher could do about as good a job as he's doing." He thought to himself, "Why, I could have said that as well as he just did." He thought to himself as he listened, he said, "Surely this man ought to find some other pursuit than," he said, but suddenly, somewhere in the midst of the message, he said, "Spurgeon disappeared and all I could see was Christ." Might that be our longing? And suddenly we disappear. And as those men said long ago, that we would see the request fulfilled, sirs, we would see Jesus. I think of a single voice, but then I think of ascending vapor. Look at verse 27. "For he maketh small the drops of water. They pour down rain according to the vapor thereof, which the clouds do drop and distill upon man abundantly." I think of ascending vapor. Watch it if you can, and you can only imagine because it's too small for the eyes to see. But think then upon the vapor evaporating into the heavens. Not mere drops, but mist. Only vapor ascending into the skies. Sometimes I feel a little bit like that vapor. I feel a little bit like that mist. I find myself praying sometimes, "Lord, I am but vapor. And I am evaporating fast." There have been moments when you feel as though you have been spent and what you've held in reserve is but a vapor that is quickly being diminished. I think about this mist evaporating
into that, not mere drops, but God gathers together the very vapors. Sometimes I find myself saying, Lord, I am but vapor and I'm evaporating fast. I left America on November the 8th, election day. I told people, this is my plan. I'm going to vote and then I'm going to leave the country. And that I did quite literally. I voted. I caught my plane. I'm headed to India. On that same day in India, Modi, the prime minister, he decided to ban the two highest denominations of currency in India. In India, we have the small 20 rupee note and the 50 rupee note and the 100 rupee note. There was the 500 rupee note and the 1,000 rupee note. He banned the two highest ones. It was November the 8th. I'm flying from America to India. I still find myself in this position at times. From one side of the world to the other, somewhere during the journey, I realize there's a new president where I just left and a new currency where I'm going. Sometimes I feel like I am but vapor and I'm evaporating fast. Now, the 20 rupee note, it is worth 30 cents or so, less than 50. And the 50 rupee note, not worth quite a dollar. And the 500 rupee note, it's worth less than $10. The 1,000 rupee note, not worth $20. He had banned the two highest denominations. I'm standing there in the airport in India, in Bangalore. I need to change my money. From the one denomination from the U.S. currency to the Indian currency. I'm joking with those who were in line, and I said, you know, everybody needs the money. I said, by the time we get to the counter, they might be out of the 100 rupee notes. They might be only giving us the 50 rupee notes. Do you know when I got to the counter, they were only giving out the 20 rupee notes. I left with a whole lot of money, but such a little amount of money. In fact, I could only ask for the equivalent of about 20 American dollars. But that was quite a stack of money, and that was just what my taxi cost into the city. I was glad for my friends during those days who helped me in that cash crisis. But I tell you, again and again and oft times, we'll find ourselves in that place saying, Lord, I am but a vapor and I'm evaporating fast. The strength of which I boasted is gone. My gift is not sufficient. My patience is worn. I am weak and I'm weary, as the song says. I see this mist evaporating into the heavens, and then I see it condensating into floods. It amazes me to read this passage of Scripture. Before there was any weatherman to predict what was about to be, I told some folks early this morning, I said, when I leave here, I'll be going on Monday down to Westchester just in time to get there right in the path of the storm that's coming. Gonna be a lot of snow. One last blast of winter. Isn't it amazing how that God gathers together the vapors and then he condensates it. It falls as floods. Now, I learned that in school. But where did Elihu learn these things? Who explained to him what we call the water cycle? Isn't the Word of God amazing?
the mist. You're not going to be able to update these scriptures, my friend. Science isn't able to keep up. The mist evaporates into the heavens. The floods, they condensate. And they pour forth and empty themselves on the... May I say to you, dear friend, God can still cause the vapor to ascend into the clouds and to fall like floods. You say, sometimes I feel like I'm just a vapor and I'm evaporating fast. But let me tell you something different. That mist, it evaporates into the heavens and then it condensates in the floods. And then may I say to you that it resonates with thunder. It evaporates as but vapor. It condensates as floods and it resonates with thunder. It may only be but a vapor, but God causes it to become floods. And then he adds his lightning and his thunder. Sometimes I find myself saying, Lord, even my prayers, they are but the vapor of my lips. But God can still add his lightning and his thunder. I think of how that the scriptures say in Psalm 81. Psalm 81, verse number 7. If you don't find your place there now, I hope you'll find it later. In Psalm 81 and verse number 7. Listen to the words of the psalmist as he said, Thou callest in trouble, and I delivered thee. I answered thee in the secret place of thunder. Sometimes I find myself saying, Lord, my prayer is but the vapor. And God said, I answered thee. I heard thee in the secret place of thunder. God can still cause the vapor to evaporate into the clouds and condensate into floods. And he can still cause it to resonate with thunder. I think about my preaching. Sometimes I've stepped away from a pulpit and I have said to the Lord in weariness, Lord, that was a whole lot of vapor today and not much more. Sometimes I've thought to myself, oh, if I only had the opportunity once again, perhaps it would have been more substance instead of being so much mist. Do you remember what the Bible calls James and John in the New Testament? The sons of thunder. I've met some men like that who made a whole lot of noise. The sons of thunder. You know, there comes the lightning, then there comes the thunder. But the Bible speaks about the thunder and says nothing of the lightning. They're the sons of thunder. And sometimes, my friend, there's too much thunder and not enough lightning when the lightning ought to be what comes the first. Let him be your lightning. I think about how that the Bible describes Jesus as being transformed before them in those glistering, those brilliant garments, how that they got a glimpse of his Shekinah glory. So oftentimes we find ourselves saying, Lord, we are but vapor and we're evaporating fast. Also we say, Lord, we are but as thunder that is without the lightning. Oh, that he might be the lightning and his voice, that of the thunder. Again, we read the words just a few moments ago in verse number 3 of the next chapter. The Bible speaks about how the clouds carry forth and he directeth it under the whole heaven and as lightning unto the ends of the earth. Isn't it amazing, my friend, how that God carries forth the clouds on the wings of the wind? And the thunder and the lightning is heard afar. May I say to you that sometimes the gift that you give may seem to be but vapor. But though it evaporates into the skies, it condensates in the flood, it resonates with and it carries so far. You have had an impact on the other sides of the world. The Bible says that he directs the lightning, the thunder, to the ends of the earth. When I lived in Savannah, Georgia, we would oftentimes watch a hurricane approaching our coast, being reminded that the storm system had actually begun to form off the African coast. And that system had carried itself and the clouds and the lightning. May I say to you, dear friend, oft times we find ourselves saying, Lord, I'm but vapor and I'm evaporating fast. But he can still cause those vapors to evaporate and this guy's condensate and resonate with thunder. Just this past trip to India, before I left, a little boy, he said to me, he said, Preacher, as he opened his hand, he said, could you give this piece of candy to a child in India? Now I could see in his face there was nothing but sincerity. He said, could you give this piece of candy? I took that piece of candy and I treated it like it was a trust that had been given to me, a charge that had been entrusted to my care. I put that piece of candy in a safe place and I carried it to India. And then when the right moment came, we called the little child over and we said, this piece of candy comes from a child on the other side of the world. And you think to yourself, oh, that is but such a small thing. And let me tell you something, dear friend. I was pleased in that moment when I was able to stay true to the charge that had been entrusted to me. And I gave that little piece. You say, that is such a little. May I say to you that oftentimes we find ourselves looking upon our own acts and our own gifts as being but vapor. But God causes that vapor to evaporate in the clouds, to condensate in the floods, resonate with thunder. My daughter, when she was very little, both of my daughters, they'd come to me and they'd have their piggy banks was filled with change they'd collected, and sometimes just their hands full of the coins, and they'd say, Daddy, this is for India. And, you know, counting the pennies together, the funds didn't seem that impressive, but it was given as a gesture of their tender, Daddy, this is for India. One day my daughter, she brought to me a little ball, just a little tiny ball. And she said, Daddy, she said, this is for India. And I looked at that ball and I thought, for India, huh? And then I kind of smiled and thought to myself, well, at least I won't be bored anyway. I put it in my suitcase and off I went. Towards the end of my trip, a friend of mine said to me, we're celebrating my daughter's birthday. And I thought, I don't have time to go to a store. There's not a store close by. I'm in a remote location. What am I going to do? I have nothing. I thought, I've got a little ball. It's not much, but I got to. And so I went to that birthday party, and I put that little ball into that girl's hands. Before I could warn her, and I didn't know that I should. You see, they have balls over in India, but she had never seen what we call a super ball. You know, one of these little balls that seemed to have more energy held within its center than five balls should. Standing there in the middle of the house, she took that little ball and she threw it on the floor. And we just dodged the ricochet as it went from one wall to the other wall. And then she chased it down the hallway. Forgot about all her other presents. Totally absorbed with that little. I went back and I told my daughter. I said, your little ball was a blessing to India. And then I told her the story. Sometimes we find ourselves saying, Lord, my efforts are so feeble. Lord, I am weary, and Lord, I am worn. I am but vapor, and I'm evaporating fast. But he so causes the vapor to condensate and to resonate with thunder. The Bible asks us the question, what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Yes, that's speaking of the brevity of life. But don't you ever forget that even though a life be so very brief and be but vapor, God can still add His lightning and He can still add His thunder. And I pray that He will. Would you stand together with me, please? Our heads are bowed. Our eyes are closed. Standing together, shall we? Our heads are bowed. Our eyes are closed. Our brother will play softly in a moment upon the piano. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed, God speaks to your heart. Maybe someone would feel compelled to find a place to kneel and pray. Maybe come here to the front and pray. Maybe there where you are. Or perhaps just conversing with the Lord in your heart. Him speaking to you in these moments. Sometimes we find ourselves saying, just vapor. Just vapor. My friend, He still causes the vapor to condensate into floods and to resonate with thunder. Just vapor. That vapor has become clouds that's been carried by the winds to the distant shores of humanity. Just vapor, you say. Let me tell you what God can do with vapor when He adds His lightning and His thunder. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed, I wonder how many could say, preacher, if I died right now, I know for sure without a doubt, I know for sure I'm on my way to heaven. How many could just lift the hand and put it right back down? You just lift the hand and put it down. You'd say, I know for sure. Lift it and put it down. Lift it and put it down. I didn't make an effort to look around and see who raised their hands. Don't be concerned if I misunderstood. I didn't make an effort. Don't be concerned if I didn't see your hand. That was not my intent. I ask you so that you might think about your answer. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed, I'm the only one looking around. Perhaps somebody would say, preacher, pray for me. I'm not sure that I'm on my way to heaven. Preacher, pray for me. Just not sure. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed, is there somebody you'd lift your hand? You'd say, that's me. I'm not sure. Just not sure. Maybe a Christian who would say, preacher, just remember me as you close in prayer. God spoke to my heart. Just remember me when you close in this last prayer. Just think upon me. Is there somebody like that? You'd lift your hand. You'd say, I'm a Christian. I know for sure I'm going to heaven. But God spoke to my heart. Just remember me as you close in prayer. You'd lift your hand. You'd say, that's me. Pray for me. Dear Lord, we do pray for your church. Lord, especially during this time, please, Lord, prevent the devil from finding that advantage that he would seek. In vulnerable moments, we pray, Lord, that you would so tenderly guard over your flock. Lord, I pray for our dear brother, their pastor, my precious friend. Please, Lord, encourage his heart during these days with yourself. We pray, Father, that he would be reminded again and again how much he is loved by the people that he has led. and even so much more by the Savior that he has served. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.